This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbionica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or toxins. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbionica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbionica.com. Symbiotika.com.
Strange Arrivals is a production of iHeartRadio and Grim and Mild from Aaron Mankey. For the best experience, listen with headphones.
This episode includes discussion of violence and sexual abuse that, while they almost definitely did not actually happen, may be disturbing to some listeners.
Surface readings register above minimum requirements. Morrow, go below and bring up the young Gargan specimen. Now the decision depends on its reactions.
Wait, Captain. I have found evidence of intelligent beings on this planet.
Of what concern are foreign beings?
Of none to you, Thor. Just as you were so unconcerned when you destroyed this small creature. So bravely.
It was no more than an insect.
But it had life. And that life you had to take to satisfy your endless hunger for killing.
Silence, both of you! Proceed, bring the Gargan.
That will not be necessary, Captain.
I'm Toby Ball, and this is Strange Arrivals. Episode 8, The Case of Emma Woods, Part 3. In the past two episodes, we looked at the experiences of a woman going by the pseudonym Emma Woods, who worked with UFO researcher David Jacobs to uncover memories of what he believed to be alien abductions, violent alien abductions. We saw how Jacobs allegedly used hypnotic regression in a manner that was both scientifically and ethically unsound. He also seemed to create a drama in the quote-unquote real world, a drama that involved Emma, two other research subjects, Elizabeth and Brian, and hostile human-alien hybrids. These hybrids apparently did not want Jacobs to continue with his research and threatened him with harm if he did. In an attempt to convince these hybrids that he wasn't researching abductions, he hypnotically implanted a suggestion to Emma that she had multiple personality disorder, and that was what he was researching. The idea was that the hybrids would read Emma's mind, find that information, and be thrown off track. Jacobs even came up with aliases for himself that he wanted Emma to use when she contacted him. Aliases like Aloha Norton. I'm not kidding. Researcher and writer Jack Brewer.
His premise was, you need to call me another name and write in code to me, because when the hybrids use their mind control on you, I want the hybrids to think that Aloha Norton is an expert in multiple personality disorder. and that I am studying you because I have diagnosed you with multiple personality disorder.
It is, frankly, a weird, weird scenario, and it doesn't even have an internal logic. You see, at this time, Jacobs was very public about his abduction research.
Emma pointed out to him, this doesn't even make sense. For instance, you publish books about studying this, and you're on the lecture circuit talking about hybrids all the time.
So what was going on here? Did Jacobs really believe that hybrids were here on Earth and that they wanted to use violence to stop his research? Or was there some other reason for Jacobs to concoct this odd drama? Emma Woods thinks it may simply have been a matter of creating material for his next book.
It may have been just a big, exciting drama for his book. He had told me that he was going to write a book and it was going to feature Elizabeth, Brian Reed's mother, who uses the pseudonym Allison, and me. And the three of us, he had done a huge amount of hypnosis sessions with. I think he did something like possibly 45 hypnosis sessions with Allison. He did 37 with me, and he did well over 100 with Elizabeth. He very much wanted my hypnosis to dovetail with Elizabeth's, and he wanted me to be in contact with her, and I initially refused because I was worried that if I was in contact with her, it would affect my hypnosis.
At this point, Emma didn't know that her hypnotic regressions were already being compromised. Jacobs was constantly introducing narratives to her while she was under hypnosis.
I didn't want her to know my identity, but eventually I realized that he'd already told her my identity, and then I just gave in to the pressure.
This is not ethical research behavior. Jacobs should not have been sharing subjects' identities with each other, particularly if a subject had specifically said that she didn't want her identity shared, but he did so anyway. Elizabeth claimed that hybrids were controlling her body and sending threatening text messages to Jacobs from her computer.
When Elizabeth started having the hybrid instant messaging, Jacobs told me that he was going on the run from the hybrids because they were after him. And basically, he just went on holiday to Cape Cod, which he did every year in August.
So Jacobs decided to go on the run from the hostile hybrids. He chose to hide out in Cape Cod, where he normally vacationed anyway. If you were really trying to hide, would you go to your annual vacation spot? Or did he use his vacation as a way to heighten the drama that he created? Regardless, Emma was becoming skeptical of Elizabeth's claims that hybrids were coming to her house and texting Jacobs from her computer. She suggested that Jacobs take a very basic step to confirm that what Elizabeth was telling him was true.
I said to him at that point, well, maybe you should ask Elizabeth to set up a webcam to make sure that this is real, because it was so far out that I started to have doubts about Elizabeth. And then I felt guilty about that because she'd been sort of nice to me. But I started to have doubts about her. And then he kind of said, well, I can't ask her to do that. And then he did ask her, and she had all these excuses for why she couldn't do it.
Again, Jack Brewer.
For reasons that only Elizabeth and her creator might know, she never agreed to do that. Again, I think a more skeptical mindset would have a pretty good idea why that might be.
Elizabeth is an interesting player in this drama. She was presumably undergoing a similar hypnotic regression experience with Jacobs as Emma was. But then there's this strange twist in the tale where she is actively originating emails that are supposedly being composed by hybrids.
You know what's interesting about this Elizabeth character is back when Jeff and I were doing Paratopia, we were reaching out to everyone.
This is researcher, writer, and podcaster Jeremy Vaney, who along with his podcast partner, the late Jeff Ritzman, were among the first to cover this story on their Paratopia podcast.
We reached out to Elizabeth, and she actually indicated that she wasn't really thrilled with what was going on. She didn't necessarily even believe it herself, but she didn't want to speak publicly because she didn't want any repercussions from Jacobs. I got the idea essentially doing what he ended up doing with Emma Woods, which I guess could hurt her career somehow or her family maybe, you know, that type of thing. So she just didn't want that put on her. So I don't know how true that is, because I mean, if she's the one who's doing the texts to Dave Jacobs, then presumably she's in on the lie.
So I started to realize that there was something really wrong with Elizabeth's story because of the hybrid IM and the threats and Jacobs being on the run. And it was so ridiculous that it started to break through. But I still thought that he believed it at that point. I was also still having hypnosis and remembering a lot of similar things. So I wasn't fully breaking out of it, and I wasn't fully understanding it, but I was at that point realizing that things were not okay.
In other words, despite doing hypnosis sessions where Jacobs was reinforcing the real-world drama involving Elizabeth, malicious hybrids, and threats against Jacobs, things had finally become so outlandish that Emma began to doubt the narrative. Don't underestimate how difficult this is to do. Once you have committed to a worldview, it can be very hard to make peace with the idea that you might be wrong. With the hypnotic reinforcement added, Emma showed great resilience to move away from Jacobs and Elizabeth.
He also wanted me to set up instant messenger so that we could have three-way instant messaging, and this is after the hybrid instant messaging, and I think he wanted me to be involved with that, and I just refused. I just felt that there was, even at that stage when I was still being very intensively hypnotized and I still wasn't really understanding, I could feel that I just mustn't do that. I was starting to realize that things were going really wrong. So I think possibly it was just literally for his book. I think he also got a lot of personal gratification from the sort of sexual and violent aspects of it. So it may have been like personal gratification as well. And other than that, I don't know what his agenda would have been, but I don't think he believed it. It took probably about 8 months, I think. I went through this process of starting to realize that this was not okay.
Again, Jeremy Vaney.
Something about her hybrids going after David and going after Emma. It just became too much. It became too much of like an international hybrid spy and intrigue novella for her, I think, and she just wanted out.
And then I eventually ended my association with him, and he wanted to stay in contact with me, and he was just sending me emails saying, why aren't you talking to me? I want, you know, blah, blah, blah. But I felt like I had to kind of disengage from him because I was a complete mess. By the time I ended it, I was in a really bad state, and it took me about 3 months to recover from the hypnosis, and I think he didn't want to let me go.
This was in 2007, and while this was the end of her sessions with David Jacobs, it was not the end of the story. After the break. Strange Arrivals will return in a moment.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbionica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or toxins. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbionica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbionica.com. Symbiotika.com.
In 2007, Emma Woods ended her work with David Jacobs. He did not want her to discontinue the sessions, but that was not all. He also didn't want the story of his research efforts with her to become public. In 2009, Emma began listening to the recordings of the hypnosis sessions that Jacobs had sent her. The session about multiple personality disorder was the final straw.
I listened to my hypnosis sessions and I heard the MPD suggestions, and that shook me absolutely to the core. And I decided I was going to make it known. I sent an email with that audio clip attached to just about everybody I could find in the UFO field, all the organizations, all the main known researchers, and that made it public finally.
In January of 2010, an experiencer named Kim Carlsberg published the first story about Emma's experience on her blog, Out There Zone. Later that month, she published a follow-up post claiming she had heard through an intermediary that Jacobs would sue anyone disclosing his work with Emma. Kim altered some of her blog entries as a result of this warning. She went on in the same post to write, "If anything happens to me as far as my physical or mental well-being or my reputation in the near future, please investigate." Who knows whether her fears were realistic, but it does indicate the paranoia that was swirling around the world of alien abductions and ufology at the time. Vaney and Ritzman picked up the story from Carlsberg's blog and saw firsthand Jacob's efforts at obstruction. In February, Dr. Scott Lilienfeld, a psychology professor at Emory University, appeared on the Paratopia podcast to discuss hypnosis and its use or misuse in UFO research. The Woods case, just recently made public, was a natural topic. Jacobs wanted to warn Lilienfeld off, but in a bit of sitcom timing, contacted Lilienfeld at the very moment he was being interviewed on the podcast.
And we were actually running by one of the hypnosis tapes by him that Jacobs had done with Emma Woods and saying, is this credible or what do you make of this? And he actually told us during the interview that Jacobs had found out we were interviewing him and contacted him and said, hey, don't do the show. You don't know all of what's going on, blah, blah, you know, that sort of thing.
Vaney was undeterred. Later in 2010, UFO Magazine published his article, Aliens vs. Predator, The Incredible Visitations at Emma Woods, which laid out in detail Emma's experience with Jacobs. Here too, Jacobs tried to intervene, contacting publisher William Burns.
Jacobs actually called Burns. I think he played me the answering machine tape message from Jacobs, who was irate, who's threatening to sue. And Bill Burns actually told me he had a conversation with him where he said to him, you know, David, what are you going to do? You're going to walk into a court of law and you're going to say all of this is true? You know, tell the judge about these alien hybrids and you're going to somehow say that you're being defamed? How do you think that's going to go? So naturally, he didn't do that. But it makes you wonder, like, is this guy even smart? Like, is he delusional?
I wanted to interview David Jacobs for the podcast to get his take on his work with Emma Woods, but my attempts to reach him went unanswered. He did, however, create a webpage with a rebuttal to the charges made by Emma and others about his conduct. It was titled, Emma Woods, The Real Story, but was taken down a few months before this episode was published and hasn't as yet been restored. It touched on a number of aspects of his relationship and work with Emma. I was concerned that using short clips provided by Emma of what were much longer hypnosis sessions might not be fair to Jacobs. Were there contexts that would make these brief moments more acceptable? As I read his rebuttal, though, I quickly realized that context was not the issue. The text on the website began,
"Since 2007, Emma Woods, a pseudonym, has made unfounded public accusations against me. For the past 9 years, she has accused me of incompetence and negligence, criminally threatening her family, intentionally imposing emotional distress and abuse upon her, and sexual perversion. These false charges are reflective of a very disturbed person. After reviewing our communications, I have come to realize that I did my very best for her as far as I could. In retrospect, it is clear that I was much too kind to her and I should have stopped working with her much earlier. This was a major mistake."
I'm not going to go through this document point by point. I do want to touch on some parts of it, though, and I think one of the things that I find most telling about it is that his explanations exist in the strange world that he co-created with Emma and other hypnosis subjects. It is the world of mass kidnappings, sexual violence committed by aliens and hybrids, and a master plan of colonization. I guess he really had no choice but to stick with the overall narrative. But Bill Burns was right that it is hard to take it seriously as an explanation for real-world acts.
Emma's intense isolation gave her abductors an unusual amount of free rein over her life, as they were not constrained by time or circumstance. Emma was alone nearly all of the time. Thus, her abductions were extremely frequent and at all hours of the day and night. Between September 27, 2005 and December 9, 2006, violence against her and threats against me increased. Security for the abduction phenomenon increases enormously when abductees help hybrids who might or might not be living here. By June 2006, her abductors were seriously attempting to stop her from talking with me. Rather than simply telling her not to deal with me, which they did many times, they also engaged in increasingly physical and sexual violent behavior against her when she continued to disobey.
He tried to explain some of his more notorious practices, again, within the narrative of a hostile alien and hybrid incursion. He mentions a Betsy here, who is presumably another of his subjects.
The multiple personality disorder ruse came up when I had used a version of this for Betsy some months before. Under an assumed name, I emailed her saying that I was a multiple personality disorder researcher, and she probably had this condition. She left the message on her computer screen and her hybrids looked at it. When Emma's hybrids were torturing her and threatening me, I decided to change direction. I would once again become a quote, multiple personality disorder researcher, unquote, and express to her that this was the condition that allowed her to think that she was being abducted. When I brought up the MPD diagnosis, we both laughed throughout the discussion. I had hoped that my fictional MPD diagnosis would cause the hybrids to reevaluate me as a harmless person who did not believe Emma's testimony.
Here's a clip from the MPD diagnosis session.
Yeah, my opinion is that yours is a classic case and that the only thing that will help you will be medication. Your stories, I'm only interested in the fact that you tell those stories because multiple personalities are all different. And as you know that each individual with a multiple personality disorder comes out. And I think that we've been dealing with three or four personalities here. Yours is, in fact, multiple personality disorder.
The tape is a little difficult to understand, but he is saying that he is only interested in her stories because she has multiple personality disorder, and that he thinks they are dealing with three or four separate personalities. But the important thing is tone. Does it seem as though this is a laughter-filled conversation? Jacobs also tries to make the request for Emma's unwashed panties seem more palatable. He claims they had talked several times about the benefits of getting some type of semen sample after a sexual assault so that the DNA could be analyzed. The chastity belt episode is also brushed off as merely an idea that had worked with another client and that he had suggested once and then dropped when it wasn't followed up on. And then there's this extraordinary passage about the increased hostility towards abductees cooperating with Jacobs.
As Emma's hybrids were making progress with her to get to me, they had also become extraordinarily violent.
Over his previous years of work, Jacobs claimed aliens and hybrids had simply reprimanded abductees for their involvement with his research.
But once the alien hybrid program transitioned to a new phase of assimilation on Earth, the very human-looking hybrids, whom I term hubrids, became even more wary and paranoid of my involvement. Their security measures increased enormously. Often a specially designated security hybrid now accompanied abductees and hubrids on many abduction events. His job was simple, to protect the hubrids and to make sure that the abductees remained completely silent about their experiences. This was the case with Emma.
He writes the following about his decision to no longer work with Emma.
I received an email from Betsy's hybrids warning me about Emma's people and saying that Emma's hybrids were very aggressive, more aggressive than his. This was disturbing to me. It provided me with the final impetus to break off from Emma. I told Emma that I would no longer do hypnosis with her. Events were out of my control, I was bowing out, and I could not work with her anymore.
So Emma's hybrids were too violent and scared Jacobs off, leaving Emma, presumably, to face them alone. So is he delusional? Or does he feel that he has the standing to put forward a narrative like this and have people believe him? Jack Brewer.
One of the recordings that she published indicated that when she confronted him with this, that Jacobs threatened her that if it came down to public credibility between the two of them, that he would win and he would be believed about what had been taking place over her. And in a nutshell, she was the wrong person to threaten to keep quiet. She obviously did not. Many people continued to support David Jacobs, as he had predicted a battle of reputations would favor him, and that was true to a certain extent. Richard Dolan was among those that tried to argue there were extenuating circumstances for Jacobs's behavior.
Richard Dolan is a prominent pro-UFO author.
However, he never produced these extenuating circumstances or backed that up. And it seemed to me there was a collective effort that Dolan was part of from the UFO community to not want to change streams. Like, we've built a lot on Bud Hopkins and David Jacobs, and we're just not willing to change our mind about it.
Jeremy Vaney's efforts at exposing Jacobs' misconduct with Emma also met with hostility from the world of ufology. Remember, Vaney is not a professional skeptic. He, in fact, is an experiencer who simply wants UFO research to be held to a standard.
So we're in. We're the in crowd. We're not like some debunkers from outside of ufology. This is actually happening to us. But if this aspect of it were real, we'd be all over it telling you that we, you know, believe this aspect of it is real. But no, it goes the other way. In fact, we see what look to me to be potential crimes, if not crimes, certainly unethical behavior. And to expose that got us nothing but blacklisted from all of his cronies, all of his people in this cottage industry, which you can speak out about UFOs and things like that. Like, you can dissect certain cases, but you're not allowed to sort of speak truth to power about ufology itself. You're not allowed to call into question all of ufology itself. That's a no-no. And so to do that, again, is to be blacklisted. You know, you're not going to get speaking engagements. These people certainly aren't going to come on your show anytime soon. And they're just going to trash you every chance they get. They have no problem with that. They have no problem with the misogyny of all of this.
Emma herself was vilified for telling her story. She mentions a Carol here, who is Carol Rainey, who you heard from a couple of episodes ago and in season one. She is Bud Hopkins' ex-wife and former research partner.
And then there was a bit of a controversy because most people attacked me, and also Carol Rainey, who also came out and said what she had observed about Bud Hopkins' research. And we were just quite savagely attacked that there were some people in the UFO field had realized just how bad it was. And then there was a kind of a controversy between basically two opposing camps in the end. People who thought that Hopkins and Jacobs were perfect and that Carol Rainey and I were these awful people, you know, for some reason trying to tear them down. And then other people who realized that what was going on with Jacobs' research and Hopkins' research was just not okay. There's still a lot of support for Jacobs and Hopkins in the UFO field.
One final point in this saga is the role that David Jacobs' academic institution did or didn't play in overseeing his research. There are strong regulations on how research can be conducted, especially what is called human subjects research. Academic and other institutions that engage in research involving human subjects have an institutional review board that evaluates research proposals to see if they are compatible with human subjects regulations. David Jacobs was employed by Temple University, which has an institutional review board that you think would have had some questions about Jacobs' research, but that turned out not to be the case. Soon after discovering the multiple personality disorder tape, Emma filed a complaint with Temple University.
A few months later, I filed a complaint with Temple University, and they initially said they were going to investigate it. And then I didn't hear from them. They never asked to speak to me. They never asked for any of my evidence. And then I got this little letter saying that he wasn't writing a book, and they just ignored all the entire substance of my complaint. And I kind of realized at that point that, in my opinion, they were just covering it up. A few months later, the following year, I then filed a complaint with the Office of Human Research Protections to oversee Temple's research to make sure that they're abiding by, you know, human subject protections. And then Temple then apparently made a case to them that Jacobs was not actually conducting research, he was just collecting oral history. And I think they did that because oral history is exempt from OHRP oversight.
Jacobs positioned his work with Emma and other abductees as collecting oral histories. Oral history projects, documenting a person's history or getting their general reflections on the past, is not considered human subjects research. But, needless to say, oral history projects don't entail planting hypnotic suggestions or even hypnotizing subjects in the first place.
But then they said they were still concerned about it, and they would ask Temple to investigate it voluntarily. And then Temple then came back and said they couldn't investigate it because he wasn't doing research. Temple did nothing, they just covered it up. And he went on having clients, and they knew what he was doing because they knew about my case, and they still allowed him to have clients, knew that he was hypnotizing them.
So again, was Jacobs delusional? No one has probably thought about this more than Emma Woods.
So I don't feel that he was trying to learn anything. And looking back, I don't actually personally believe that he believes any of it. I don't know what his agenda was. It could be that he just wanted to write books, or it was helping him in his course at Temple University, but I actually now don't believe that he ever believed any of it. It was such deliberate leading, and he's very aware that leading causes false memories. I mean, he's written about that, he's talked about that. And the leading was so overt and so deliberate. He was making sure that I remembered that under the hypnosis.
In the end, after all that she went through with Jacobs and the aftermath of her exposing his research practices, she still lives with memories that he suggested to her while she was under hypnosis.
And I still remember them now. They're part of my experience of my life. Even though I know most of it's probably false, it's still there, still feels real.
So we have looked at what happens when researchers develop specific, strongly held views about the existence of UFOs and the meaning of interactions with UFOs and aliens. But what does that mean for right now, as we are in the midst of a resurgence of interest? To answer that question, we have to travel back more than 50 years to a place on the border of West Virginia and Ohio. Next time on Strange Arrivals.
Strange Arrivals is a production of iHeartRadio and Grim and Mild from Aaron Mankey. This episode was written and hosted by Toby Ball and produced by Rima El-Khayali, Jesse Funk, and Noemi Griffin, with executive producers Alexander Williams, Matt Frederick, and Aaron Mankey, and supervising producer Josh Thane, with voice acting by Dylan Fagan. Learn more about the show at grimandmild.com/strangearrivals and find more podcasts from iHeartRadio by visiting the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.